The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter number 15, Text number 21, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on September 26, 2013, in Vrindavan, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Pandita, Bahava, Rajan, Bahugya, Sankshaya, Chidha, Sadasa, Pataya, Api, Eke, Asantoshat, Patanti Adha Pandita Bahava Rajan
Pandita Bahava Rajan
Bahugya Sankshayashyadha
Bahugya Sankshayashyadha
Sadatas Patayo Pyeke Asantoshat Patanti Yadha Pandita Bahavo Rajan
Pandita Bahavo Rajan
Bahugya Sankshayaschida
Bahugya Sankshayaschida
Sadatas Patayo Pyeke Asantoshat Patanti Yadha Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O King Yudhisthira, many persons with varied experience, many legal advisors, many learned scholars, and many persons eligible to become presidents of learned assemblies fall down into hellish life because of not being satisfied with their positions. Purport. For spiritual advancement, one should be materially satisfied. For if one is not materially satisfied, his greed for material development will result in the frustration of his spiritual advancement. And there are two things that nullify all good qualities. One is poverty, daridra dosho guna rashi nashi. If one is poverty-stricken, all his good qualities become null and void. Similarly, if one becomes too greedy, his good qualifications are lost. Therefore, the adjustment is that one should not be poverty-stricken, but one must try to be fully satisfied with the bare necessities of life and not be greedy. For a devotee to be satisfied with the bare necessities is therefore the best advice for spiritual advancement. Learned authorities in devotional life consequently advise that one should not endeavor to increase the number of temples and mats. Such activities can be undertaken only by devotees experienced in propagating the Krishna consciousness movement. All the acharyas in South India, especially Sri Ramanujacharya, constructed many big temples. And in North India, all the Goswamis of Vrindavan constructed large temples. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur also constructed large centers known as Gaudiya Mats. Therefore, temple construction is not bad, provided proper care is taken for the propagation of Krishna consciousness. Even if such endeavors are considered greedy, the greed is to satisfy Krishna, and therefore these are spiritual activities. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jatapadakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagarajatam sahagana raganitam vidantam sajivam sadvaitam sabudhutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gadavani Pachaline Nirvisheshu Shunyavari Paschacha Desha Taline So this is an interesting purport. Prabhupada's talking about it's important to be materially satisfied. It's a very interesting purport. In order to advance spiritually, you have to be materially satisfied. So what does that mean then? In other words, if you're too much material frustration, is very disturbing, and you won't be able. Your mind won't be peaceful. You know, if you have $50,000 of credit card debt, you're unemployed, the bank has repossessed your house, they've repossessed your car, it's a lot of anxiety. And it makes it difficult to chant Hare Krishna peacefully. So the idea here is that you should have some material situation where your necessities are being met, you have a place to live, you have food, you have clothing, you're not in debt. You have, you have some peaceful situation materially, so that your mind won't be disturbed by your material situation when you're trying to chant your japa, trying to do some sadhana. But it doesn't mean you should become extravagant. Well, to be peaceful, I have to have a big mansion on top of the mountain. I have to have, a fleet of 10 Rolls Royces for my mind to be peaceful. I mean, it's a matter of, it's not like that. Yeah, if I don't have a swimming pool in the backyard, my mind will be agitated, because all my neighbors have swimming pools. There's a saying in America called, you have to keep up with the Joneses. Move up, we have guests coming. More guests, move on. And this other chair is for Vrindavan. Move forward, that chair should be free for Vrindavan, though. Vrindavan, Prabhu, we have a chair for you right here. This is my disciple, Vrindavan Das. And his wife, Purnamasi Devi Das. Abhaycharan, this is Abhaycharan Das. These are his parents. So, many people starting off their spiritual life, the youngsters are wondering, well, what should I do? What career path should I take? Should I be a doctor, a lawyer, an IT specialist? What should I do with my life? And we answer them, do whatever you feel, whatever will best facilitate you to practice Krishna consciousness. Whatever will best facilitate. There's some, they prefer just to be a brahmachari, simple brahmachari, remain without any entanglements of wife and children, and just, live in an ashram somewhere, and just, chant and read and preach. And that's also Vedic. That's actually a very ideal situation. But for some, eventually, they want to have a situation where they can have a wife, they have a family. So one has to consider such persons. It's advisable for them to have some proper means of earning a living. So their mind is peaceful. Prabhupada also goes into the point here of he takes the same theme and he applies it in a different arena about building temples. And we see that just like in the U.S. right now, there's so many Hindu temples being constructed. It's not being done by acharyas, it's being just by Hindus who want to have a place to feel that they can associate with other Hindus is the main consideration. And have a little religious overcoating to their social life. So such temples are actually not very conducive for spiritual advancement because they're not going on in the direction of a pure Vaishnava. No pure bhakti is being demonstrated in such temples. No pure bhakti is being taught in such temples. So it becomes more or less a karmakandiya sort of situation, just like we sometimes sing that little song. Give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, replete with Michelin tires. Give my wife a new silk sari. Give my kids a Harvard education. Give me a house by the sea. Om Jaya Jagadish Hari. Worshipping God becomes something for fulfilling material desires. I sang that little ditty at one program one evening in Malaysia, and one gentleman who sings the actual bhajan, of which that spoof is based, became rather disturbed. He said, I sing that to my kids every night before I put them to rest. How you can make fun of this song? He was very disturbed. But I pointed out the lines in the song, which shows that it's actually praying for material things. And he realized, yeah, I think I better chant Hare Krishna and stuff. Because he could see it was actually, the song, even though it's famous, quote-unquote, devotional song in India, it's actually promoting the idea of give me, approaching God, give me, give me. It's the same as Christianity, you see. Our Father who art in heaven, please give us our daily bread. See, approaching God in this way, it just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make sense. It's foolishness. Because how many children growing up in the home, just like you grew up, you're a youngster, not a young man, but when you're a child, you have to ask for your mommy and daddy, will you feed me today? You ever ask your father if he'll feed you today? Did he ever ask you if you would feed him? You always fed him because you love him, isn't it? He always fed him. He never had to ask you for food because you're... So, do we think that Krishna, the Supreme Lord who owns everything, controls everything, is not able to feed us? And we have to say, dear God, please feed me. Please give me some money. Please give me this. Please give me that. You see, a loving parent, the child doesn't have to ask the parents for his necessities. So Krishna is the supreme parent, the supreme owner of everything. And therefore, we, his children, don't have to ask him for these things. But Krishna instructs us what we should ask for. We should pray to be his devotees. The problem is we've wandered away. We're children who run away from the home of our parent, Krishna. You see, our mother is Radharani, our father is Krishna. We've run away from home, foolishly thinking we could be happier living on the street in this material world, you see, being free, so-called free in the material world, not under the loving care of Radha and Krishna. That was foolishness. And now they're inviting, please come home, you're welcome, please come back. I'll give you, here's your plane fare. Here's the airplane, just hop on the plane. Here it is, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And just get on this airplane. You know, you have a reserved seat, buckle your seatbelt, we're taking off. You see, come back to me, you see. We're not meant to be here in this place. We're all meant to go back to the spiritual world. Just like yesterday, one of my disciples, Lalita Devadasi, she went back to the spiritual world. How do we know? Because she left surrounded by kirtan. Prabhupada said that about Arjayananda. He was the one who was famous for the Ratha Yatras. He was dying of terminal leukemia. Yeah, he had terminal leukemia. And Prabhupada actually wrote him, it was interesting, Prabhupada wrote him a letter after his departure. Two letters, I think it was. In one letter he was saying that, you know, if you had any material desire, then you will, any change of material desire, you would go to the heavenly planets. But then he wrote another letter, he said, because you were hearing the kirtan, you've actually achieved, you've gone back to Krishna Loka. Because you're hearing the kirtan, you left. So that's why yesterday when I got a phone call from a Bhaicharan that Lalita was having, looked like she was terminal, I on the train, I said, just keep coming to Vrindavan and have kirtan. Give her a wonderful kirtan. So they did that. Everyone chanted for her. And they just did it. They had their own little private area behind a curtain on the train. And they just created the spiritual world there by, they created a spiritual atmosphere by kirtan. So in such situations, we can be sure that such a person, that's a person who is sincerely practicing Krishna consciousness and following our rules and regulations, if they're hearing kirtan, may leave their body, then their destination is Goloka Vrindavan. And even that body, there was a wonderful serene smile on her face. It's in Thought for the Day today. Everybody will see in Thought for the Day. She had a wonderful serene smile laying there. She's departed, but she left behind a wonderful smile. It shows, you know, that she died in Krishna consciousness. Of course, she didn't die. She just moved to a different area. Krishna had, I want you to serve, you've served in this department, now I got some service over here in this department for you. It's like you're serving the Pujari department, now they need you in the treasury office, you know. You got a service, now it's time, I want you to move to the other service in this department here. And now you're in the treasury department, you're going to go into the Sankirtan department. She just shifted to a different department, though. Her service will continue. She simply shifted to a different department. That's all. Nothing stopped. Of course, we miss her here, but we'll see her again when we go back to Godhead, you see. This is an impetus now for those who are missing Lalita Devi Das. So now we must become pure devotees, go back to Godhead so we can see her very soon in Goloka Vrindavan, you see. So in this way, the Krishna consciousness movement is all auspicious because it creates an atmosphere completely free from anxiety. Totally free from anxiety. And actually, even though we may appear to be separated from devotees, I have many dear godbrothers who've departed from this world also. Even though it may appear that we're separated, if we remain fixed in Krishna consciousness, then actually Prabhupada said we're all packed up tightly together, you see. So really there's no separation. It just appears to be sentenced. It's just apparent separation, but actually there is no separation. All those we're all together serving Prabhupada. Whether we're in the material world or the spiritual world, we're all together. And we're not separated. We're all serving Prabhupada together. So it's a wonderful thing, this Krishna consciousness. Actually, when one receives one's beads, the day of initiation, Prabhupada says, he told us in Los Angeles, when you receive those beads, you achieve immortality. No more death, you see. But actually, you don't die. Only your body, just like you have a piece of luggage, you know, it got all worn out and broken. Just dump it, you know. So the body becomes like a worn out piece of luggage at a certain point. Sometimes it happens, you know, you have some luggage, it gets all broken down. You're traveling with luggage, but the luggage just becomes useless. Get a new suitcase, you know. This one's all useless. Just dump it. Is there any lament to dump the useless? No, glad to get rid of it. So sometimes this body also becomes useless. It's a lot, you know, just like a suitcase wears out after a while. The body also wears out. So why be encumbered with a worn-out body that just gets in the way of your service, you see? A problematic body. So when the body becomes problematic, a devotee doesn't lament. He says, okay, get rid of the damn thing. I'm going to get a better body now. If I'm not completely purified yet, I'll get another spirit. Just like I have this problem with my hearing, death is going to be great. I'm going to get a new set of ears. Joy. Either if I'm, you know, if for some reason Krishna wants me to stay here to keep preaching the material world, I'll get a brand new set of material ears. And if he wants me to back in Goloka Vrindavan to serve him in there, I'm fine either way. I don't care. I can take breath again. I can go back to God. Either way is fine with me. As long as I always remember who my guru is, Srila Prabhupada, and who my Lord is, Lord Krishna, I'll be happy anywhere, in any situation. So, for me, death is going to be, wow, great. Haribol. A new set of ears. These doctors, they can't give me a new set of ears. These doctors, for me, are useless for my hearing.
What if Krishna wants you to stay like this?
Huh?
What if Krishna wants you to stay like this?
If Krishna wants me to stay here with bad ears for the next 10,000 years, all right. I can do that too. You see? Because actually it's stated in the Sri Upanishad, Kuravant evaha karmani jajiva shaktitam samaha evang tvai nanyate stosti na karmandapyate nade. You know that verse? He says one may aspire to live for hundreds of years if he goes on continuously doing and work in that sort of way, because that sort of work will not bind in the law of karma, and there is no alternative to this way for man. So if Krishna wants me to stay here and keep preaching and making disciples and revolutionizing this planet in this present body with its bad ears, that's fine with me too. I can. I know there's one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, he was so deaf. He'd be coming to the Prabhupada's Vyas Puja here in Krishna Balaram Temple. And that he'd come to make an offering to Prabhupada, and his disciples would be there. They want to tell him, they'd yell, they'd say, Guru Maharaj, they'd yell. They'd be yelling, Guru Maharaj, da 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 da. He'd yell at him at the top of their lungs for him to hear what they were saying. So maybe I'll be like that someday. My disciples have to yell at the top of their lungs, Guru Dev, it's time for prasadam, Guru Dev. I may be in that condition one of these days. Whatever Krishna wants, you know. Whatever Krishna wants. A devotee has no anxiety because whatever Krishna wants, he's happy with it. You see, we may think, well, it has to be the way I want to be happy. But no, whatever Krishna does is all right. That's what we have to always think. If Krishna wants to take Lalita to Devi Vina, that's all right. He had a reason. I shouldn't worry about it. If Krishna wants to take me away right now, okay. Whatever Krishna does is all right. We have to have complete faith. Whatever he does is okay. It's good. And there's a story in this connection. There was one king. He had a prime minister. And the prime minister was very Krishna conscious. Whatever happened, he would say, Your Majesty, whatever Krishna does is all right. And one day the king had an accident. He cut off his finger. He said, Your Majesty, don't worry. Whatever Krishna does is all right. He said, What do you mean? I lost my finger. You say it's all right. Get in the dungeon. I'm putting you in the dungeon, you scoundrel. In the dungeon with you. You see. The king was so angry. He would get that advice from the prime minister. So anyway, you know, in those days, the kings, they were, if there was a war, they would be the first one on the battlefield. They wouldn't sit comfortably in the palace, you know, sitting in their silk bed, you know, having chewing bitty or whatever, you know, smoking or chewing pot and smoking bitty or something while everybody goes out to fight the war, you know. No, they would be the first one. They were heroic fighters. The Kshatriya even lead the battle. Even a few centuries ago in Great Britain, the British king, there was a British king who went out and fought on the battlefield and led the battle. Of course, now they've changed the Kali Yuga. Now the Kshatriyas don't have any potency anymore. They have no courage anymore, these leaders. But former leader meant he would risk his own life to protect his citizens. He would put his own life on the line protect its citizens from aggressors. That's king, you see. So anyway, they have, when there's not a war, how do you keep in shape? Because you have to be really good. If you want to be an expert killer, you have to keep, you have to practice it. It's like a musician. He practices regularly to keep his art. So how do you keep the art of killing if there's no wars going on? So when there is a war, you want to be sharp. So how do you do it? Well, they would go in the forest, they would kill the ferocious animals. It, you know, the sages would be protected in that way. The king would also protect the sages from wild tigers, or, you know, being eaten by tigers and things like that. The kings would go and kill wild animals in the forest for practice, killing practice. Ferocious animal, not some deer, but a ferocious animal. It's really a challenge, you know. Even they would kill them with their bare hands, with just a knife. They would fight with a knife, go at him with a knife. Not in a, sit in a hidden place and shoot him with a rifle, you know. They would like go hand to hand packing him with a tiger and kill them. These are powerful kings. Even recently in Jaipur, the Rajasthani kings, even recently they would do that. And they would bring the tiger back and they would give him, they would treat him like, they would give him a royal procession, like a, treat him like a king. You see, they would honor the tiger that was killed by the king. So anyway, a little aside there, but he went on a hunting trip in the forest, and he was captured by some dacoits, worshippers of goddess Kali, who would do human sacrifice. And so, oh wow, they're going to sacrifice him to goddess Kali. Then they noticed, oh, he's missing a finger. We can't offer him to goddess Kali. He should be infuriated with us. Why are you offering somebody with an imperfect body? You can go. Sorry, you know. We got to find somebody else. You're not suitable. Go ahead and go. Wow. That prime minister, he was right, you know. Every Krishna says, that's all right. So he went back to the palace, went down to the dungeon, and said, you know, whatever Krishna does is all right. Thank you so much for that wonderful advice. But why are you not angry? You appear to be very peacefully chanting Hare Krishna here, very happy. Why are you not disturbed? He said, Your Majesty, I come with you on those hunting trips, and I have all my fingers. Whatever Krishna does is all right. So in this way, we have to have faith. Krishna never does something wrong. Everything Krishna does at every minute, everything is going on in Krishna's direction. Everything is being perfectly orchestrated by Krishna at every minute. When somebody leaves their body, when somebody is born, when somebody gets rich, somebody gets poor, everything that's going on in the whole material existence is under Krishna's perfect orchestration for the purpose of bringing us all back to his transcendental abode. So in this way, if we have complete faith, our mind will never be disturbed, you see. Our mind will never be agitated in any circumstance. We'll always be blissful. I know it's hard, Krishna, now, but all right. Just like it was very hard for us when our house burned in the U.S. We came back from our blissful preaching in Lithuania to find that our house was completely unlivable. Fire damage, and they put out the fire. There was water damage. It came in, water damage, fire damage. A big hole in the roof. The whole place is trashed, like it was a bomb or something. It's just trashed. The place was trashed. Our nice, happy ashram was turned into trash. The place was trashed. We, coming back from a wonderful festival, our home was trashed. But so, well, whatever. Krishna has some plan. We don't know what's going on here, but all right. We have to live with it, go with it, not be disturbed, you see. So that's what we have to do. When some disruption comes, we have to see, well, Krishna has some plan, there's some purpose. Let me just trust him and not be disturbed. Just trust Krishna and carry on with my devotional service. And in this way, we create a wonderful Krishna conscious atmosphere within our hearts, and we then emanate that wonderful Krishna conscious atmosphere to benefit all those that we deal with. That they can also be brought into that wonderful Krishna conscious atmosphere or state of being. So now I can ask you, if you'd like to add something, Devi. Okay. there any questions?
Srila Gurudev, if someone is not practicing Krishna consciousness, if he is in the dying situation, what can we do for him?
I mean, if somebody is not Krishna conscious, you can't make them Krishna conscious at the last minute. I mean, you can chant Hare Krishna for them when they leave their body, but, you know. Like as a doctor, you may deal with a dying person sometimes. You can chant the holy names. Let him hear the holy names as he's dying. Otherwise, what you can do is, it's not that you can just put some Ganges water in his mouth. He'll be liberated by that. The most powerful thing you can do is just chant Hare Krishna for him as he's leaving the body. My dear Sarah, you're now dying. I want to bless you with these names. Try to deeply absorb yourself in these names now. And this is Lord Krishna's manifestation. Lord Krishna has his abode. If you can give your love to him and fully surrender to him, he will take you. You can preach to him like that. Because it is possible at the last minute. One of my godbrothers, Kartikeya Prabhu, his mother was dying and the son was there. And just before she died, she said, "Where is your Krishna now?" And Prabhupada said she went back to Godhead. She wasn't even a devotee, but her son was a devotee. And she said, "Where is your Krishna now?" And Prabhupada said she got liberated. So it can be special mercy. But don't think that I will take advantage. I'll live a life of sense enjoyment. I won't chant. I won't offer my food. I'll smoke cigarettes. I'll drink liquor. You know, I'll go to all the mundane movies. I'll be greedy for all the latest technological gadgets, you know. And I'll just remember to say Hare Krishna at the time of death. Actually, I got a letter one time from I get all kinds of things from my readers, you can imagine. All kinds of bizarre things come in sometimes. One of the readers found some verse somewhere in some obscure Manusmriti or somewhere that if your body is burned with a certain type of wood on the cremation fire, you get liberated. So he got some of this wood and he had it stashed, you know, so he didn't have to worry. He just lived his life anyway and make sure he was cremated with this wood. So he could live. That was his idea. He thought he could do that. And I explained it. I mean, the thing is, even if it was true, what happens if, you know, he has in his will, you know, when I die, please burn me the wood. I have it in my shed in the back of the house. And they go there to find somebody had stolen all the wood and it's not there. You see what I'm saying? So we shouldn't try to, you know, take advantage of the power of Vedic injunctions to cheat and do sense gratification. Because Krishna can see that cheating mentality and he'll reciprocate them accordingly. If you think you can cheat, outsmart Krishna and cheat him, Krishna's the supreme cheater. He's the supreme cheater. And he can if you try to trick him, he can out-trick you. And actually all these different animal species, it's Krishna's sense of humor. I've had to deal with their certain mentalities that they have. All right, you have this mentality, here's a nice body for you. It's like, in one sense, it's Krishna's sense of humor. You know, monkey body or dog body or elephant body. They had a certain mentality. Okay, here's a nice body for you. Yeah.
Could you just explain?
I'm going to add. Okay, go ahead. You want to add something to his answer?
I'm saying that. He said that in the last minute, maybe somebody can go back home, back to Godhead. But even if they remember, that doesn't take them back to Godhead, because their mentality was not pure.
It's interesting,
They can progress. They can be given another birth, lifetime. They will be saved from gliding into the lower species, but they'll get a higher.
Yeah, it depends on your consciousness, really. We do say, if you remember Krishna at the time of death, but thing is, there can be a... One thing is, Gandhi is famous for having saying, I think it was Ram at the time of death. Prabhupada said he did not go back to Godhead. Prabhupada specifically stated that. So it's not that you can just... Because his philosophy was that Krishna was a myth. He didn't believe there was a person Krishna. So if you have some attitude which is completely, you know, offensive towards Krishna, that even if you hear his name, you may not, you may not go back to Godhead. If you have an attitude which is not proper, that there, Krishna is a myth, Ram is a myth, I'm chanting his name for some reason, but I don't believe he really exists as a person. Prabhupada said that if you're skeptical, I can send me an email, I'll send you the exact quote to prove it, that Prabhupada did say it. I heard it from Yashomati Nandana, our regional secretary in Gujarat.
That is what Krishna says, Yam Yam Vapi Smaranam Bhavam.
Yeah.
Bhagavad Gita is the proof.
Yeah, the state of being, your state of being. Anyway, the point is, if you want to go back to Godhead, you shouldn't just think, I'll say Hare Krishna at the time of death. You should actually be in the mood of bhakti. Cultivate the bhakti mood. That's the point. That's the point. Now, you had some...
Could you just throw some light on the three modes of nature, because how the animals and how the living entities come in?
How they relate to?
The three modes of nature. Like,
what are they?
The living entities are in the three modes of nature. So if you could just elaborate a little bit on the three modes of nature.
Yeah. Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. Tamas is mode of ignorance. Rajas is the mode of passion. Sattva is the mode of goodness. Maya, Yashamana, let's see. These are manifestations of Krishna. They're his energies. And we're being conducted by these modes. Just like the puppeteer manipulates the puppet by the strings, we are puppets on strings. There are three strings. And we're being manipulated by these strings. Sometimes the mode of goodness is prominent. One becomes thoughtful, one becomes charitable. These are symptoms of the mode of goodness. Sometimes when passion becomes prominent, one becomes very greedy for material progress. And sometimes ignorance becomes prominent. One becomes just want to sleep or just forget everything and just kind of merge into some vegetative sort of consciousness. So, these modes are always there acting on us in all circumstances and situations. Sometimes we see a person who's very good, just like in the U.S. we have this problem with people go crazy sometimes and go out and do mass shootings. They go to a movie theater or a shopping mall and they just start shooting people. And people say, well, that's amazing, he was such a nice guy, what happened? He's my next door neighbor, he was very friendly, what happened? He was under the influence of the mode. Somebody can be a good person, but then the other modes then could take over, and they can go into a whole different mode of consciousness. We even had it happen in Austin. Somebody, a gentleman who had many friends, he was known to be a nice fellow. He got disturbed. He had some tax issues with the tax agency of the U.S. government is called the IRS. He had some problems with the IRS, the tax department of the government. And so he got really frustrated. He took an airplane and a little airplane and he loaded it with all kinds of cans of gasoline and he flew it right into the IRS building in Austin. He crashed it into, just flew right into the, committed suicide and killed a few people inside. Luckily it was a day off and nobody was in the office except for a couple of people. He's like, a couple of other people were killed and he was killed. He just flew his airplane right into the IRS building. He was known as a nice guy, you see. So the modes, they interviewed some of his friends. Yeah, he was a nice guy. We had a band. He played in the band. He was a nice fella. So people are manipulated by the modes. A nice person can flip. Other modes become prominent. But if one is Krishna conscious, you see, then he goes beyond even goodness into what is known as pure goodness. The state of pure goodness is not subject to the influence of the modes. The mode of goodness is. That's why a good person sometimes becomes very wicked and evil. He does wicked and evil things. But someone who's in Krishna consciousness, he is in the mode of pure goodness, which is not beyond the influence of the modes, and therefore he remains steady in his pious consciousness. So you want to add something to that, Deviji?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
Without the proper consciousness.
Hmm?
Without the proper consciousness, we cannot go back home, back to God. Even though it may be good and it may be beneficial.
Okay, anything else?
If one is devotee, then it's another thing, kirtan. But if one is non-devotee, you do the kirtan, it is beneficial.
It benefits him. He may, if someone leaves their body who's not a devotee, but they hear the holy name, then they can, that will give them a pious asset that they can cash in on their next lifetime. It might give them, it depends. It's really difficult to say exactly what will happen in a certain case. They could be heading to the animal kingdom, but they could end up being a dog in the house of a devotee because they heard the holy name. You know, something like that, you see. It'll definitely help them. Even if they're not going to liberate them, it will help. It will get them a step closer to liberation. So we should, just like even when I'm talking, sometimes when I'm talking to, you call customer service, you know, tech support for some product that you have, and they, the very end of the call, he said, was there anything else I can do for you? I said, yes. Please chant Hare Krishna and be happy. You see? And they don't even know what it is, but they heard it. It's like subliminal programming, you know. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy.
Yeah, I don't know if that helps, because he just thinks it's something else.
They may have said, what is he wishing me wearing Merry Christmas for? It's July, and he's saying Merry Christmas. You know, they may not understand at all, but still has a benefit. It has a purifying benefit, and they hear the holy name, whether they know what it is or not. Some of them may know. A lot of times, you know, you call tech service in the U.S., you get India, you get Bangalore, you know. So in Bangalore, they probably know.
I don't know. Because they don't even repeat it.
Sometimes they do. They are Krishna conscious. They say, oh, really? And then I ask them, where are you? They say, well, I'm in Bangalore. I say, do you ever go to the, you know about the Hare Krishna movement? Oh, yeah, I've heard of it. Sometimes I get into it with them a little bit. And I tell them, yes, I travel all over the world teaching Bhagavad Gita. They go, oh, wow. That's amazing. Sometimes I get into it with them. Okay, anything else? Yeah.
I want to ask about whatever Krishna do is all right, but how can we understand when we make mistakes?
Whatever you do is not all right. Whatever Krishna does is perfect. What do you do is fraught with so many imperfections, you see. We're not saying whatever you do is all right, whatever Krishna does is all right. Not what you do. You're a rascal. Whatever you do is fraught with so many errors. You're a conditioned soul, subject to four defects. I'm speaking for all of us. I'm not just picking on you. We are conditioned souls, and we're subject to so many defects in our behavior, what we do. So whatever we do is fraught with so many mistakes, but not Krishna. So does that clarify it for you?
Yes, yes. But how we can understand the situation for the problem, you know? Sometimes the situation comes from Krishna, but sometimes we...
Well, it's something that you did. Let's say you made, you know... It's like you're getting your car to drive from the farm to Sofia, and you get halfway there in the middle of nowhere, and you realize you didn't have enough gasoline in the tank of your car, of your van, and now you run out of gas and you're in the middle of nowhere. And did Krishna do that, or did you do it? It was your stupidity. Now, so that's what you did. It's not what Krishna did, you see. It was your foolishness. Yeah.
Huh? But how do you understand that Rishikesha is controller of our senses?
Yes. Rishikesha means controller of the senses. But he has two ways that he does it. through the spiritual energy and the material energy, and you have your choice which energy you're going to be under. And that's totally in your power. Krishna doesn't decide whether you're going to be which energy. That's your decision. I want to be under the spiritual energy or under the material energy. That's your choice. And when you choose to be under the material energy, you made a mistake and you will get the reaction. Does that make it clear? Anything else?
Huh? It's overtime.
Oh, it's overtime? Yeah, we're 5 minutes overtime. Things have to be done. We have things that need to do today, so we'll go ahead and stop here. And when will the next class be?
Mm-hmm.
Next class, when will that be?
Next class.
Can I announce it now?
This evening, Bhagavad Gita class.
This evening, Bhagavad Gita. So there'll be a Bhagavad Gita class tonight here at what time?
Like usual.
6:30?
After the arti.
After the arti? What time is the arti?
Or you can do the silent arti. It's better to finish it early.
So what time are the arti in the class?
Arti is 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock? 7 o'clock tonight we'll have class here.
Haribol, did you hear? I said they start at 6:30.
Oh, start at 6:30. Yeah, I don't hear so good. It's a fact. 6:30 tonight. Everyone be here. If you want to cancel your plans and stay, we have no objection. We love having you all here. We love having you here. We love having you here. So if anyone wants to cancel this plan to stay for the next 2 weeks, ki jai. But the thing is, we don't want you to become poverty stricken, like in the purport it said. That means you may lose your job and you'll be a beggar on the street. We don't want that. That'll make it hard for you to chant your rounds peacefully if you don't have a job anymore.
No, that is wrong.
That's what the purport is saying.
Yeah, purport is saying.
How could it be wrong?
One has to be peaceful by having enough Lakshmi and all that. But that is not in our hand. That is in the hands of, results are in the hands of Krishna. Karmanyeva adhikaraste, that also he says in Bhagavad Gita. That you work, but the result is not yours.
Yeah.
So you stay here, whatever, you make proper arrangement, everything is there. Just like this thing was happening, Abhay Charana said, come here, taken off the leave, maybe without the pay. He's not gonna go hungry. Okay,
thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.